This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is opening day. We got Derek Holland rocking with us all show long at 12:45. Chuck Morgan's coming up at 1 o'clock. Cole Hamels. But right here, I wanted to kind of expand out just a little bit and run through some topics, or you can suggest your own topics about, besides just the Rangers, though I got another one there.
Pitch clock?
Yeah, okay. What are the MLB overall storylines? Or it could be the Dodgers. The Dodgers is the one for me.
Yes, but I'm going to tell you what is going to become a storyline quickly. And Derek, I don't know if you've seen some of these calls being made in spring training, but at the end, there's going to be a lot of safe calls at second and third base. Probably more second than third. You can't block the base by 1 inch. And the natural motion of a guy covering the base on a stolen base is, as they catch the ball, they step towards the base to get to the backside of the base to make sure they're covering the whole base. And they're calling that as safe. And so I do think after about 2 weeks, I'll give it 2 weeks, that there's going to be a lot of complaining. Like, what are we supposed to do? I understand you can't block the base and you need to give them, I would say, at least 50% of the base. I totally get that. But they're making it almost, the only thing I can think about this rule is they want guys to slide to the back of the base and be safe. That the actual shortstop and second baseman can't make that tag. So if you make a good slide, if it's a close play and you make a good slide to the back of second or the back of third, you're going to be safe, because if that person steps to tag you, it's an automatic blocking of the base and they're automatically safe. And so I get the storyline will be the Dodgers. You're right about that. But I think a storyline that's going to happen quickly in this season is this blocking of second and third base, which is way too extreme.
I'm with you. I've seen it already in spring training. It is pretty bad. I know one of them was Lindor was getting to throw down. I don't know. This is, to me, it's just another thing that's going to be a problem. I know we shortened the pitch clock too. I think that's another thing that's going to be an issue too.
You were not a fan of that to begin with,
yeah,
right?
I didn't really care for it, but at the same, I get it. I know what it was for. It made the game faster and everything, which that's fine. I'm all for it. I get it now, but I still am not a fan of it. But shortening the clock, I don't think was the way to go. If anything, I think you needed a little more time. But the rule of blocking second base, even just looking at the Lindor one, I mean, he's not even blocking the
80% of the bases available.
Yes, and that's how it should be. He's catching the ball. He's near the bag. Like, what is he going to try to do? I mean, there's nothing else. Like, you can't move around that. You got to go, as position players are taught, you go where the ball is going. You got to go to that. He can't just sit there and hope to God that it's going to be in this vicinity.
Yeah. Do we know why they changed it? Like, was there a call, like a cry for, man, we got to change this rule, slide into second?
I don't know. They made the bases bigger.
Yeah.
So there would be more availability to the base.
And I know we had the frustration last year, and it wasn't just us, because it happened with multiple teams last year on the Jonah Heim play. Was it Chicago?
It was at home.
Home, when you're like, he wasn't even in the way.
And we got to see two different sides of it. We saw one where he was in the way, and then we saw one where the other guy wasn't in the way when he technically was. So, yeah, it's... These rule changes are going to be kind of a disaster, I feel like.
Yeah, I think Mike's right. Definite point of discussion because you're going to see a few plays where the umpire has to call it that way.
I do really like the now when, especially a right-handed hitter, that they have the ability to run on the line or barely inside of the line. Now, obviously, there's... I think they're giving it about 18 inches from the line running to first base. I'm okay with that. I think that's a good rule because I don't know, Derek. I mean, I'm older than you, but we were taught, especially with runners on base, if there's a close play at first and a guy's on the line, you hit him because then he's automatically out and the runners have to go back to the bases they started at. And now it would have to be a little bit more egregious where they're running almost on the grass or close to the grass. For them to be considered, all right, you're intentionally trying to have no angle for the runner to throw.
Yeah, I was talking.
Or sorry,
about
the
same
for the
thing.
Pitcher or third baseman to throw.
You gotta smoke them right in the back of the head. They got a helmet on.
You know, you describe it. Just the verbiage you use is exactly the way that Mike describes it as.
Well, that's
a
what you're. So we're taught like as the catcher would get it, or if the pitcher on a bunt and it's like right by the line, I'm turning and I'm throwing an absolute missile right at you.
But wouldn't you aim for the bat because it's bigger? That's what
Yeah. But
if you hit him in the head.
You just want to hear that thunk when it hits the helmet.
Ow.
Other storylines?
I don't know what the natural transition off of that is.
Helmets. Safety first.
Thunk. Yeah.
Jared mentioned he thought the Tigers would be a lot better. Mike, since you're our expert on the Royals, do you think their offseason spending spree can propel them to the playoffs, or do you think they're still in trouble?
I don't love, and maybe this is just picking the same teams and I shouldn't do it. If I had to pick a team out of the Central, I would stick with the Twins, who won it last year, but obviously, you know, they lost Sonny Gray. They're not bringing back the same team, and they didn't go out in the offseason and add. Kansas City added. Detroit has a lot of young premium prospects that need to take another step. Spencer Torkelson needs to take another step. Riley Green needs to take another step. Casey Mize, the first overall pick in the draft in 18, if I have my years right. He is back from Tommy John surgery. I don't know how well he's going to do first year back from Tommy John, but they have a lot of young premium prospects along with some really nice players that I could see Detroit winning that division. I think Kansas City can play close to 500. I think maybe I love them too much without even really knowing them that much. I think Bobby Witt Jr. has a chance to win the MVP of the American League. I think he's going to steal 60 bases. I think he's going to hit 35 home runs or more. I think he has a chance to maybe not 40-70 Acuna. But I think he has a chance for 40-40. That ballpark is, you've been there. It's almost impossible to hit 40 home runs. It's one of the parks still that is almost impossible to hit 40 home runs in a season. So can he get to 40? Maybe 35. If he played at another park, he probably could. But I think Bobby Witt Jr. has an outside chance to be the MVP of the American League.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a bad division, too.
Fair.
Like, and that's the thing. It's like... Because even the Indians, the Guardians, you can't count them out too.
They turned in 2021, their first round pick, Gavin Williams, last year showed a lot of promise, and their fifth round pick, Bibee, showed that he could be an all-star this year. And that's their 2021 draft class of first and fifth round pick. They are unbelievable. Obviously, I'm a bias to Carl Willis, their major league pitching coach. He's probably the best pitching coach I ever had, him and Charlie Huff. Were the two that I really liked the most. So I just think that Cleveland, if they do it, Bieber looked a lot better in spring training. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to carry that into the season, but he looked like kind of Cy Young-ish Shane Bieber. And then you have the skinny kid, McKenzie, who's back. And then those two young draft picks that developed last year in the major league. So I think Cleveland has a chance. The only team that doesn't is the White Sox.
Well, and the White Sox might have the worst rotation in all of baseball. Corey, you're going to hate this one. I'm sorry. Just how good is that Astros bullpen going to be?
What are you even doing, bro?
Look, I think it's a fair question. The addition of Hader to go along with Presley, Abreu, this is a fierce bullpen. You don't have to like it, but do you think I'm wrong?
No, it is a very good bullpen, and I fear if they add Will Smith to it, that's really going to kill things, because Kevin, you and I currently have a bet At first, it was the Royals, but I've added an addendum to this bet. And wherever Will Smith goes, if he wins a World Series, Kevin, you will grow the skullet. If he does not win a World Series, I will grow a mullet, and it will be, let's say, 3 months. That's one of the biggest storylines, I think, in MLB all season, is our hair situation. But yeah, we beat their bullpen last year. They didn't have a lefty in there. They didn't have a lefty, and that kind of screwed everything up for them. But we were still able to get to their bullpen last year. So it is fierce. It is scary. But I'm interested to see how their new manager decides, you know, if he knows how to use it the right way. We found out Bochy definitely knows how to use a bullpen.
It'll be frustrating for this if Houston has depth in their upper minor leagues, because it doesn't look like they do.
Nope.
So I'm not saying Jack Leiter's ready to light the world on fire. I hope he is. But they don't really have anything in AA or AAA to really help them. And you're going to go through injuries. And so it's going to be interesting for the Astros if they deal with a few injuries. And maybe the Rangers, you could say the same thing, especially with the starting staff, is if they go through injuries, I have no clue who they have to help out.
How much are you going to keep tabs on Jordan Montgomery? Because we were talking about this off air, the Cole Reagans thing. Is, I know people are frustrated about it, but that deal helped facilitate something that got you into the playoffs and thus won you the World Series. So I'm fine with it. Will you be tracking Jordan Montgomery, or are you like, hey, look, he's not here anymore. I wish him well, but I can't.
I mean, I'll watch him just because he's a lefty. I like watching lefties pitch. So I'll definitely keep tabs, and it does, in my mind, it sucks. We didn't bring him back here. He was somebody that was a very important piece, and you see that it took a one-year deal to get him to come back. Why couldn't we have done that? That's just me, but again, I know I'm not in charge of that.
I'm going to be rooting for him.
I will watch him. He's playing the National League. I won't pay that much attention to him anyway. And whenever the Rangers get a chance to play against him, I hope they shell him.
Well, here's the thing. If the Diamondbacks struggle this year and they are not a contender by any means, he's going back into the trade market if he's doing what he's been doing. So you could get him potentially back again, but
I can't imagine
we cannot give up anything crazy for him. That's the thing. Like, we had him. I mean, that's just going to be the tough part, but he is definitely going to get traded if that team struggles.
I will have a hard time believing that Arizona Diamondback team won't be at least competing for a wild card spot. I get the Dodgers might run away with that division like they did last year, but I think the Diamondbacks are an 85-90 win
team.
They
added this offseason too, right? Yeah.
They added Eduardo Rodriguez, the other lefty. So I think, obviously, Zach Gallen. They had, however you say it, I always say it wrong.
Gallen's right. You did it right.
Gallen and
Say Spencer Torkelson wrong too, but that's
and Wembanyama.
Did I say it wrong again?
You sure did.
Torkelson.
No, it's when you. It's not that. It's when you say the entirety of
Spencer Torkelson.
Because that's usually what it turns out.
There's two L's in there.
Entirety of the name.
Well, you know what? Play better, and I'll get your name right.
But I mean, that division's tough to begin with too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you can't sleep and count out the Padres. They've got a pretty good lineup.
San Francisco's
still.
All right.
They're a good team. Obviously, the Giants are out there. Rockies is the only one that's like, all right.
They might be the worst team.
They're going to lose.
If not the A.
Yeah. I'd agree with you.
Do you think the two West divisions then are
the toughest?
Yeah. I think the AL East is a little bit tougher.
Okay.
Because Boston's their worst team
in their division.
And then you look at Tampa.
Yeah.
Baltimore's might be the fourth worst.
Yeah.
And then you have New York and Toronto, who I think are going to strongly compete for a playoff spot. And then I think Baltimore will make the playoffs.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we might do a little bit of My Buddy's an Idiot. But earlier, I only told you Keith Law. I didn't get to go into detail about how other folks are feeling about the Rangers. Don't shake your head, Corey. It's pretty positive, but I don't know if you'll think it's positive enough. Next, right here on The Fan.
One ball, one strike. The pitch. Adolis swings and hits a high drive to deep left field. That ball is way back, and that ball is history. Adolis Garcia clears him off with a grand slam after four consecutive strikeouts. Not quite the celebration he had 2 days ago, but another slow jog around the bases as Adolis has broken this ball game wide open. It's 9-2.
KNC Masterpiece. Yes, the Rangers were winning right here on 105.3 The Fan. The defending world champions begin. Opening day is today. We talked about some of the national feedback. You, Corey, seemed displeased.
Yeah,
it's not good. By Keith Law's feedback.
Look, man, we're going 162-0. We're going to win the World Series again. And just let's go ahead and make it a two-peat, as Derek called it this morning. And never forget, Kevin.
I feel like a repeat is pretty accepted.
I like two-peat because I like Derek. Never forget this quote. You can't win them all. You can't win 162. You can't go 162-0.
You can.
If you don't win the first one.
All right. Should have let him kept talking, Derek.
Yeah, I know.
He kind of sounds silly.
I was excited. I was excited. Sorry.
Was like, you can try it. Yeah, go out.
Tell me you're excited. Show your emotions. Yeah, I was pumped. I already knew.
I already cried today.
Good point.
I did see you look like me again. Earlier this morning.
Well,
I love it.
Three times. I've cried three times.
That's great.
Like, when's the last time
baby?
When's the last non-baseball time you cried three times in a day? Ever?
Every time the Mavs started Dwight Powell.
God, somebody just DM'd me. It's like, those mic drive-bys. I go, you never know when they're going to happen, but they're going
to
happen.
I'm getting Dwight Powell to sign a jersey, and I'm bringing it to you.
Peace-a-thon.
No, it's just for
Mike. That's fine.
He has to wear it.
Don't.
It's fine. Like, I give him a lot of credit. I use him as an example to kids.
Gosh.
If you have the right attitude and energy and you're a great teammate, you'll get things you don't deserve.
Wow. All right. Now, Corey, keep in mind,
mm-hmm.
none of these people are predicting 162-0, but I want to see if this is pause enough for you. The Athletic, Rangers will finish second in the AL West. They will make the playoffs. And Wyatt Langford on opening day goes 3-for-5 with a home run, double, and 3 RBIs.
Oh, that's fun. That's a fun little thing.
Is that not?
They finished second in the AL West last year. I wonder how much they want AL West, right? Like, if they're like, you know what? Well, I know we won the World Series, but we want the AL West this year. We want to take
that is a goal.
I really think yes. They didn't accomplish that goal last year.
Yeah.
Kind of who cares? But at the same time, I saw last night they were discussing, is this still Houston's division, even though the Rangers won the World Series? And they were discussing they did win the division last year through tiebreaker. They won it. They had a better record against the Texas Rangers. So I do think the Rangers can't win the division today, but I do think ultimately that's their goal, is to win this division, take it away from Houston, and then in a way, I guess, set yourself up better for the playoffs. You can, I don't know if you can, but maybe you can be like, we won the division, we're really proud of it, but we don't want to play home games.
Kevin, this morning, my son Carter, I was telling him, hey, tonight the Rangers start defending their World Series title. And he was like, if they lose, does that mean the Cubs are the World Series champions? And I was like, I can't remember what you call that.
The linear world champion.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of that. We'll revisit that at some point.
I was like, no, but we want to win tonight.
You're going to notice a theme for people who are like, it's only the Metroplex talking about Wyatt Langford. You just heard that from the Athletic. Let's go to Baseball America. Second in the AL West. With Seager potentially banged up and Semien another year older, Langford could emerge as the team's most feared hitter. Let's go to CBS. They say second in the AL West. 4 of the 6 riders picked Wyatt Langford as their rookie of the year. Another one picked Evan Carter. So 5 of the 6 are like, it's going to be a Ranger, with 4 of them going to Wyatt Langford. So I just want to point out that is the Athletic, Baseball America, and CBS Sports all focusing their bold predictions around Wyatt Langford. However, they also all have them in second place, Corey. Is this positive but not positive enough?
Yeah,
for
man.
You?
I feel like that's frustrating as a fan that believes that this team is kind of, as Chris Young said, set the standard to something else. And like, you kind of expect now that you're going to be one of those teams that people are like, oh, crap, they're coming to town. And maybe the Rangers just have to do it again, you know, to say, because wasn't it that the thing with the Rockets whenever they won their first title? Was it Tomjanovich was like, we got to go prove it wasn't a fluke. And then they win their back-to-backs. And maybe the Rangers do have to do that to earn that respect.
I know that he said, never underestimate the heart of a champion. I remember that from Rudy T. And I can't remember if that was I'm sure that's when they won their second one.
Probably.
Maybe he just said, like,
because
hey,
that was a rough road to that second
title. They were a
sixth
seed and won it all, kind of like the Mavericks this year. And so...
Look at you.
So, yeah, so there's a drive-by, too.
There's
a good drive-by.
A very rare positive drive-by
out flowers.
By Mike Vasek.
I drove by and threw you some flowers that time.
We stole them from Oak Cliff Pediatrics.
They all did. Right. They stole tulips from Oak Cliff Pediatrics.
Why would they do that?
Why would a person do that?
DraftKings, they've got the Rangers first place in the AL West. Said this lineup is ready to win a division title. ESPN, look, at one point they put out 88 experts picks. So what I've boiled it down to is
many.
The vast majority have the Rangers finishing second in the AL West, and then they drop this in. Picking Wyatt Langford to win Rookie of the Year isn't that bold, so let's go bolder. He hits 35 home runs, leads the AL in RBIs, makes the All-Star team, and finishes top 10 in MVP voting. Again, this is from ESPN.
Did they take this from me? Did they listen
it
to our show?
It does feel like a Mike Bassick-esque take right there.
Good for you, Mike.
I just look at what Gunnar Henderson did his rookie year and where he finished in MVP voting and obviously Rookie of the Year. The year before that, Julio Rodriguez won Rookie of the Year. He finished in, I think, top 5 in MVP voting. It wasn't first, second, or third,
so
I don't think.
It's not without precedent.
Right, so the last two Rookie of the Years in the American League also finished right around 5th in MVP voting. I think it's very doable. And it's not so much in baseball as it is in basketball and football. You don't have to have the best record or win your division to be the MVP. We just saw it with Shohei Ohtani. I know he's different, but you can find a whole bunch of examples of your team wasn't great, but you still won the MVP in baseball. I do think the Rangers, it will help out that if the Rangers win 90-plus games, that also Wyatt Langford / Corey Seager could win the MVP. I do think those are your two top MVP candidates. I know Marcus Semien does finish top 3.
He does.
3 times, I believe, in his career.
That is correct.
But I do think your two major people that could win it are Seager 1, Langford 2, that could win the MVP this year.
And I want to throw this out for you guys because John Heyman with the New York Post also has the Rangers second in the AL West. So New York Post, ESPN, DraftKings, CBS, Baseball America, The Athletic. DraftKings had the Rangers first, but everybody else had them second, which we would largely assume, I would assume, is in the playoffs. So while we talked about the doubt from Keith Law and there are other places, that does still feel pretty positive, does it not?
Sure. Yeah, it definitely does, but if we want to win the division, this is how I'm seeing it.
Okay.
It's going to come down to pitching in general, both bullpen and the starting rotation. You already know what you got from Eovaldi. We now have to see what we can get from Gray. We need Gray to be very consistent out there and help out as well. The whole thing is we got to wait until we can get Scherzer, and we don't even know if we're going to have the true Scherzer again. Coming back from a back injury is not really the easiest thing to bounce back from.
Are you encouraged by his, it seems like, sped-up timeline? Because we kind of heard All-Star break, and now it's like, hey, maybe the end of May.
I'd rather be patient with it. I want it to be right. You know, you want him to come back and be him. But then, like I said, with the rotation, though, Bradford has to be big. Dunning has to be everything that he was last year and hopefully more, which I think he will. I think Bradford's going to do good too, but we need to have solid starts from these guys. They need to be able to go. In my opinion, we got to try to keep the average around close to 6 innings. We need to save our bullpen, especially early. And then the thing is with the bullpen, we can't have that same situation we had before last year where we were doubting who can we send out there to get the job done.
Can we throw out a mini My Buddy's an Idiot baseball edition right here?
Wow, did I already say something
to
that
the Astros
bad?
Fan that keeps texting in? He's like, oh, get back to me whenever you got 7 LCSs. And you're like, come on, dude, we won the last one against
awesome.
You, right?
Get back to me when you're it's the defending news. World champion.
Yeah, come on, bro.
That's last year.
Exactly. You missed it. Yeah. You missed your chance.
Yeah.
I want to throw this out there for the entire Shohei Ohtani team. Mm. Because I think they are handling this the absolute worst conceivable way you can handle this. He went out and read a statement and said he will not be taking any questions. And then ESPN followed up with him after his lawyer said, Shohei has been victim of a massive threat and we are turning matters over to the authority. ESPN asked yesterday for proof that Ohtani has reported a theft investigation, they declined to comment.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say we're turning it over to the authorities, which authority? No comment.
You can't just
say the police.
Kevin, there's a higher authority.
Jesus.
Always.
Yeah. And then just turn it over to him, obviously. That's what it sounds like to me.
Just before the deadline. Uh-huh. Because yep. The next couple days.
And he doesn't have paper. He doesn't available. Have paperwork.
He doesn't need it.
He doesn't need paperwork.
Okay.
So, he doesn't write stuff down.
Yeah.
I just.
Memorize.
Iron box right there, man. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he did any of this, but when the first story that comes out is, hey, we paid for the gambling debts for our interpreter. And then it gets changed to, no, he stole the money. Here's my statement. Will you take any questions? No. Hey, we're going to contact the authorities. Which authority? Can't say.
Lawyer.
You know what? Pete Rose is wishing he had an interpreter.
And we played that. Did you hear that audio? Yep. That's what he said.
He's definitely peeking through the bushes right now. What's going to happen?
Can I get back in?
And I hate to say it, like, they better do something because that guy needs to be in the Hall of Fame. So you better put him in there now.
I agree with you on that, too, because, I mean, like, he's a massive part of the story of baseball. Like, that's what the Hall of Fame should be designated for.
But with that being said, too, he's not, like, I wish people understood. Yes, I get it. Betting on baseball is terrible. I'm not trying to sit here and promote that by any means. But he bet on himself to win. It wasn't out there to blow a game, you know, or to lose it or anything.
I disagree.
Okay. Well, then tell me why.
Here's why. Because you know how managers will sometimes give up a game in the seventh inning. It's 4-2, you're losing. It's just like, my guys are a little bit tired. I'm gonna hope that this person holds the game at 4-2 and we can come back.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I don't know how much Pete Rose bet on each game. But if I have, I'm just throwing out a number here, 5,000 on the game tonight, and I'm the manager, I'm going to manage that game more like a playoff game, and then the next night be like, I'm not going to bet on my team because I wore everything out I had to win that game because I bet on that one. So I get what you're saying. He didn't bet against his guys, but I do think it's not right or good because you can manage a game differently trying to win it based off of your bets. And then almost give up a game, the next one going, screw it, I don't care. I'm not betting 5,000 on this one, and I know we're going to lose. I won't bet against us to lose, but I managed the game differently yesterday because I had money on it.
See, I thought he did it only as a player, so I didn't realize that.
Well, he was both. He was player manager. That's what was tough about it. That's just the tough thing is even if you don't bet against your team, I feel like not betting for your team every game would then be betting against your team.
But, I mean, he's peeking right now. He's watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then it feels like you just have to throw Draymond Green in there. If you get Steph Curry to knock a bunch of chairs over and start crying into his jersey, it's probably you've done the wrong thing, right? He got ejected in less than 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even see it, so fill me in.
Well, he was mad about a foul call, and then he got mad about another call, and he was staring right at the ref. And, like, I think he didn't, like, push him or anything just like that, but you're not supposed to touch an official, and the official is already looking right at him. So less than 4 minutes in, he got ejected. That's his fourth ejection of the year. Steph Curry is just standing there. He looks shell-shocked. And then he just puts his head down. And then at some point, he covers up his face. The speculation was that he was crying. And then he showed emotion when they won because they did beat the Magic. And that was an important win for them. But Steve Kerr, Stephen Curry, they're all like, hey, we need you there for the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do need him.
Oh,
like,
yes.
He's a key part for what they do as a team. They do need him on the court, and then on top of that, they just need him to be focused. But he's going to be – Draymond going to be Draymond, dude.
And, Corey, I feel like this is maybe a shot at me. For the 4-3-2, my buddy's an idiot. He doesn't believe the Rangers are going 162-0 and two-peating.
Yeah. Kevin?
Yeah.
Where are you at, bro? Like, are you an Astros fan or something?
We just got to make a shirt that has a finger, two.
Yeah.
And then Pete.
Yeah. Well, Pete Rose?
Yeah. Two Petes.
I could definitely see you wearing. I can definitely see you wearing that shirt.
We're the
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I believe for the one and only time today, let's talk football. Gridiron Gravy. Are these off-season storylines being talked about enough? Including one of them, just for Derek. We'll do it next right here on the
Super
Fan.
Bowl.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Shotgun is empty. Back to throw. They blitz him from the safety spot, and Prescott escapes that, runs to his right, throws on the run to the middle of the field. Lamb at the 50. No one will get anywhere near him. Lamb could crawl in if he wanted to. C.D. Lamb, 92 yards from Dak Prescott for the Dallas touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. For the only time in this show, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Deep opening day.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that was good.
Good job, Rigo.
That was spicy.
Rigo, that was good.
You're on it today, baby.
And we start.
Is McCarthy throwing out the first pitch today?
No, Mike. And it's not Dak. I told you it's that guy who's been a season ticket holder for like
Jerry
45
Jones.
Years.
He's been
it's
a big supporter of the Rangers.
I don't believe it is Jerry Jones.
Mike, you
forgot the guy's name.
You were on a parade float at the time.
Okay.
That's cool. When we were interviewing Jerry.
No, I was there.
You were there?
To start the show.
He did do pretty much an entire segment with us about the Rangers winning the World Series. That was... You got to give him some credit for that. He was like, I recognize the best way to endear myself to these fans right now is to celebrate with the Rangers.
And then he said he wouldn't do a parade in Arlington if we ever won.
Yes.
Did he say that?
I mean, he didn't exactly. He was like, well, you know, there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of cities in DFW.
Look into.
Take all of Beltline.
I think real answer was, don't worry. We don't have to worry about
okay.
that ever. And
just
that's your fault.
That is my fault.
You should have known that was going to happen.
I sat that one out.
I appreciate it. And you know what? Just for that, I'm going to ask you this.
Super Bowl?
Maybe, actually.
Yep, it is.
So are these storylines not being reported enough? This was an article I was reading on CBS Sports, and one of them is talking about the Cleveland quarterback room. What is your breakdown of that? And are the Browns a real contender for the Super Bowl?
Are they a real contender for the Super Bowl? You better believe they are. That is a
Mike,
fact.
Your thoughts?
Mike.
No, they're not.
Yes, we are.
They're a contender to make the playoffs.
You're going to be a fan of us just like you jumped on the Jaguars, the Chiefs, and whoever else you've picked up.
Yeah, I think you were a Seahawks and Philly fan.
We've done it all, so don't worry. We got Browns uniforms ready for
you.
I'm
not going to be a Deshaun Watson fan.
That's fine. I get that because I'm hoping going forward, though, in this quarterback's room, he gets the message his job can be taken away from him. After seeing what happened with Russell Wilson, we could do the same to him.
You supporting Dorian Thompson-Robinson?
I kind of want to see Huntley.
Okay. What about Jameis Winston?
Jameson, I would like to see him, too. I think he's, in my mind, he's a locker room guy. That's how I see it.
That is true.
He is very good at keeping things loose in the locker room and making it to where we're not, you know, too caught up in that.
And the reason why I played that cut specifically is the wide receiver extension market. There are five receivers that could potentially be getting extensions that are like top of the line. Ayuk, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, and Justin Jefferson.
Good night, man.
And it feels like...
They could go to the Browns? Yeah, I know.
Not
because we've only picked up every wide receiver now.
That is true because they're like, hey, we need all the quarterbacks and all the wide receivers to figure out a way to make this happen. So Tyreek Hill got $30 million per year. It does feel like quarterbacks keep going up because not all positions keep going up. wide receiver is going to surpass that $30 million threshold pretty regularly now.
Well, it only makes sense, too. If quarterbacks are going up, why? Is it because they're throwing to the running back? Or is it because they're throwing to the offensive lineman?
Definitely, I mean,
the guys that they're throwing to are valuable, too. So those guys have to get. Now, that's another reason offensive linemen go up. All those things. At some point, the values of guys might level out, but I think quarterbacks will always stand out above everything else.
Okay. Agreed.
I mean, they make things happen. You got to be.
That is a fair point.
Yeah.
But the reason why I didn't want to bring that up, Derek, is because somebody texted in and said, did Mahomes retire? No. Then the Browns have no shot.
Oh, man.
I just think it's going to be tough if you look at Lamar Jackson is better than Deshaun Watson. Obviously, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes is. I do think Buffalo is going to take a step back this year because they did actually go all in for the last 2 years, and now their cap is screwed up for at least this season, if not one more. But I just think that is the Joe Burrow division too. Like, you're in trouble there. Now you can hope Joe Burrow gets hurt again. That's and a 50-50 Russell proposition.
Wilson? Yeah, but Joe Burrow hasn't really
I'm
done
not
very well.
About Russell Wilson.
He hasn't done very well against the Browns. Just want to throw that out there.
Okay.
I'm going out of this division. I think the team to really watch out for is the Houston Texans.
Oh, let's talk about the Houston Texans. That is another thing they put on there. The Houston Texans are doing things right. Obviously, mm-hmm. we loved what they did last year. This will be an important year to see if they can build on it. Mike, I'm curious. I'm not saying like, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl. But do you view, going into the season, do you view Houston as like a real player in the AFC?
What happened to Jacksonville?
You tell me, you watch them all the time.
No, I think that
have they surpassed
Houston,
Jacksonville?
Unfortunately, has jumped Jacksonville. C.J. Stroud looks like the real deal, but we do this with a lot of quarterbacks True. When they have early success.
Mac Jones got this.
Right, and I think he's way better than Mac Jones. I never believed in Mac Jones, so that's where I'm at with him. Like, well, he turned out to be Mac Jones. Just like McCarthy is going to turn out to be McCarthy.
Which, or J.J. or Mike?
J.J. Mike's decent. J.J.
J.J. McCarthy being a top five pick, maybe.
I think I've had this talk with the morning show with Sean and RJ and Bobby, and I told them he's a good quarterback. He's not great, but he's improved every single year. Yeah, he didn't have to throw in the Penn State game. I know that gets brought up a lot, but if you're not stopping the run, why go away from it? So I didn't see that necessary, but I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he can, with the right system, do pretty well. Are you hating on him?
No, I was just showing some Astros fans. Don't worry about it.
It's the two astronaut outfitted fans in Game 7 that look so sad because they got destroyed.
Just give it to me. I'll post it because I know that'll make everybody happy.
I love it.
But I think he's a good quarterback.
Okay, and then what about when the Cowboys draft Blake Corum? Are you going to be
stoked that one? For that? I will definitely be jumping on the Cowboys bandwagon again.
Okay. Now, Mike.
Who wins first, though? Texans Super Bowl or the Cowboys Super Bowl? Because I know that's for you.
It's fine with me. All 31 teams.
Oh, even Washington?
That means the Browns.
Yeah, Daniel Snyder's gone.
That's a good point. Good point. Now, the Chiefs, they're going an unorthodox route for their next running back and wide receiver. They have signed Louis Riz-Zamet. He is a rugby star that is going to be involved with kickoffs. They're getting him a shot to be involved in the kickoffs. And then with the rule changes, that could be a big deal. And then maybe running back and wide receiver.
I saw a guy break this down the other day and kind of show it to us. And I guess, was this XFL or something like that? It was something
with a different configuration.
Yeah, yes, had yes. that configuration. I watched it and I was
they
like,
do.
Dude, this actually looks like it could be more touch or run backs.
Oh,
if,
for sure.
If they get them in that area, it could be a lot more. It could be a lot of fun. So, like, I'm looking more forward to this, and I'm actually glad that NFL didn't say, no, our product is perfect. This is one of those moments where I'm like, hey, man, this could add some excitement to it. And then adding people from rugby could be a lot of fun, too.
Corey, I want to ask you about this because I know at times you've dabbled in the Hard Knocks. What do you think about the proposal from the owners that all teams from a single division would do in-season Hard Knocks? Because that was one of the arguments. If you're the Dolphins, for example. You're like, well, you can literally see what we're doing during the season. It might not impact the next week, but what about after that? So the idea that they would run four teams simultaneously on in-season Hard Knocks.
I think that's really cool. That's a good idea. I do love the storyline. Like, I got to really know the Dolphins this year. I do love getting to know a team. There's another thought I had of, like, I would love a matchup, Hard Knocks. Like, so this week is going to be the biggest matchup is these two teams, and we're going to follow those two teams as they lead up to this game. You know, like, I would love that, but I know most of the time you're getting the post after that.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, but I like that idea. I like that concept. I do like the idea of having more teams involved in it, especially as you're going along. Not only are you getting to learn what, like, let's say the Dolphins are dealing with that week, but what their opponent's dealing with, too. You get a peek at what they're going through leading into that game. A
couple more quick notes for you. You saw this, Derek. The Carolina Panthers have signed Jadeveon Clowney. 2 years, $20 million, worth up to $24 million with incentives. He had a good season last year, but he was coming off maybe the worst season of his career before that. So I have no idea how it's
going
to turn out.
He checks out. I'm not a fan. If things aren't going his way or he's getting what he wants, he just checks out.
Is that because he killed the entire state of Michigan with that one tackle his sophomore year?
Poor Denard. That's a good friend, too.
That tackle is brutal.
It's a great tackle, but has he done that since?
Nope.
Okay, then.
And he never lived up just as I predicted.
That is true. Corey said that from the jump, that this wasn't the dude.
I just hate guys that don't. You get the contract like that, and you're not even going to go out there and perform. Like, I really don't think we're going to see anything spectacular from him. He went to a team that's not really relevant. So if things don't go his way, I promise you, he is checking out. He's going to half-butt everything.
You can say he's ass.
It. Oh, you can?
And then the Pro Football Hall of Fame honored.
I think Kevin said it like three times yesterday.
Well, he just said it for me, too.
I was fired up. The Pro Football Hall of Fame, they honored Monty Kiffin. Best known as the defensive coordinator with Tampa. However, since he did spend 1 year as the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, former Cowboys coordinator getting honored right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. It is opening day. We've been talking about it for weeks, heck, for months. Now's the time. What is your official prediction for the Rangers' record, playoff fate, and whatever else you want to tell us? Let's do it next right here on 105 Through the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.